asked. I swayed with it. He held me up, as he always did, in all ways. At a time when I was likely to feel a little adrift, he was giving me something else. He introduced everyone to me, then pulled out my seat for me. Lunch passed in a whirl of excellent food and intense conversation. I was happy to hear that my idea for adding Crossroads to Gideon's bio on his website had ramped up traffic to the Foundation's site, and that my suggested overhauls to the Crossroads site, now in place, had increased applications for assistance. And I loved how close Gideon sat to me, holding my hand beneath the table. When they asked me for input, I shook my head. I'm not qualified to offer anything valuable at this point. You're all doing an amazing job. Cindy Bellow, the CEO, gave me a big smile. Thank you, Ava. I would like to sit in on board meetings as an observer and get up to speed. If I can't contribute ideas, I hope to find another way to lend a hand. Now that you mention it, Lin Feng, the VP of Operations, began, many of our recipients want to acknowledge and thank Crossroads for its support. They hold luncheons or dinners, which also act as fundraisers. They would love to have Gideon accept on behalf of the Foundation, but his schedule precludes that most of the time. I leaned briefly into Gideon's shoulder. You want me to nudge him some more for you? Actually, she smiled, Gideon suggested that you might step in and handle those. We're talking about you representing the Foundation in person. I blinked at her. You're kidding. Not at all. My gaze turned to Gideon. He tilted his head in acknowledgement. I tried to wrap my brain around the idea. I'm not much of a consolation prize.
Ava.
Gideon conveyed a wealth of disapproval in that one word. I'm not being modest, I countered. Why would anyone want to hear me speak? You're accomplished, brilliant, and a wonderful orator. I could listen to you give a speech all day. Your name sells tickets. Offering me up instead just creates an obligation. That's not helpful.
Are you done?
He asked smoothly. I narrowed my eyes at him.
Look at the people in your life and how you've helped them.
Like me. He didn't say it, but he didn't have to.
If you put your mind to it, you could deliver a powerful message.
If I can add, Lin interjected, when Gideon can't make it, one of us goes instead. She gestured at the rest of the board members. Having a member of the Cross family personally attend would be wonderful. No one would be disappointed. The Cross family. That had me sucking in a sharp breath. I didn't know if Jeffrey Cross had left any other family members behind. What was indisputable was that Gideon was the most visible reminder of his infamous father. My husband didn't remember the man who was known as a fraudster and coward. What he remembered was a father who had loved and nurtured him. Gideon worked so hard and had achieved so much, driven by the need to change what people associated with the Cross name. Now I had the name, too. One day in the future, we would have children who carried it. I had the same responsibility as Gideon to make our surname something our kids would be proud of. I looked at Gideon. He held my gaze, unwavering and focused.
Two places at once,
he murmured. My heart felt like it was squeezed inside my chest. This was more than I'd expected, sooner than I had expected it. Gideon had gone straight to something personal, something intimate and essential to who he was, something that meant a great deal to me as well, and that I could put my own stamp on. He had been waging the war to clear the stain on his name all alone, as he'd had to fight all of his battles. That he trusted me to join him in this, of all things, was a declaration of love as wonderful to me as the ring on my finger. My grip on his hand tightened. I tried to show him, with just a look, how touched I was. He lifted our joined hands to his lips, his gaze saying the same thing back to me. I love you. Our server came by to clear our plates.
We'll talk about it,
he said aloud. Then he looked at the others.
I hate to cut this short, but I have an afternoon meeting coming up. I could be generous and leave Ava with you, but I won't.
Smiles and laughter went around the table. He looked at me.
Ready?
Give me a minute, I murmured, looking forward to the opportunity to kiss him the way I needed to. From the glimmer in his eyes, I suspected he knew exactly what I was thinking. Lynn and Cindy both pushed to their feet and came along to the ladies' room. As we made our way through the restaurant, I looked for Arnaldo but didn't see him. That didn't surprise me, considering his commitments with the Food Network and other appearances. As much as I wanted to try to repair that relationship, I knew time would tell. Eventually, Arnaldo would see how much I loved my husband, that protecting him and being everything to him was the center of my life. Gideon and I challenged each other. We pushed each other to change and grow. Sometimes we hurt each other to accomplish something or make a point, which worried Dr. Peterson, but somehow was working for us. We could forgive each other for anything except betrayal. It was inevitable that others, especially those close to us, would look at us from the outside and wonder how and why it worked, and whether it should. They couldn't understand, and I didn't blame them because I was only just starting to really grasp it myself, that we pushed ourselves harder than we ever pushed each other. Because we wanted to be the best possible versions of ourselves, to be strong enough to be what the other needed. I used the restroom, then washed my hands, taking a moment to look in the mirror when I was done and fluff my hair. I wasn't sure how Mario had done it, but he'd given me a cut that gained more body the more I touched it. I caught Cindy's smile in the mirror and felt a little self-conscious. Then she pulled out a tube of bright red lipstick, and I relaxed. Ava, I almost didn't recognize you. I love what you've done with your hair. Through the mirror, I looked for the person speaking to me. For a split second, I thought it was Corinne, and my heart rate kicked up. Then, I homed in on the face. Hello? Turning, I faced Ryan Landon's wife. When I'd first met Angela, she had worn her hair in an artful chignon, which disguised the length of her hair. With it down, the long black strands hung in a straight curtain that reached the middle of her back. She was tall and slender, her eyes a muted blue-gray. Her face was longer than Corinne's and her features a bit less perfect, but she was still a knockout. Her gaze assessed me so casually from head to toe, I couldn't swear that was what she had done. Nice trick. I hadn't mastered it. It dawned on me that I would be constantly scrutinized by more than just the media as I took my place in the city's new elite. I wasn't ready. My mother's debutante training and rules weren't going to help me, that was for damn sure. Angela smiled and took the sink next to me. It's good to see you.
You too.
Now that I was armed with the knowledge of Landon's vendetta against Gideon, I was on alert. But I wasn't trying to land her husband's account anymore. We were equals. Well, almost. My husband was younger, richer, and hotter, and she knew it. Cindy and Lynn finished up and started moving toward the exit. I fell into step with them.
I was wondering, Angela began.
I paused and looked at her inquisitively. Giving us privacy, the other gals left.
If you'll be attending the Grey Isles show this week? Your close friend, the one who's living with you, he's the face of their latest campaign, isn't he?
It was hard, but I kept my face straight. Why ask me that? What was she getting at? I couldn't tell because her face was clear and innocent with no sign of guile. Maybe I was looking for a hidden objective that wasn't there. Or I just didn't have the skill set I needed to play her game as well as she did. Because she was obviously paying attention to me. Not just my relationship with Gideon, but all my relationships. She was following the gossip. Why? I don't have plans to attend any of the Fashion Week shows, I replied carefully. Her smile faded, but her eyes lit up, putting me further on edge.
That's a shame. I thought we might go together.
I still couldn't get a read on her, which was driving me a little nuts. She'd seemed nice enough when I met her the first time, but then she had been quiet, letting her husband and the rest of the Landcore team do all the talking.
Would she say outright that her husband had a hatred for mine? Neither she nor Landon had given me any clue there was animosity with Gideon. But then again, it wasn't something that would come up during a request for proposal meeting.
Or maybe she didn't know?
Maybe Landon's drive for vengeance was something he kept to himself. Not this time, I said. I deliberately kept the door open because I might be able to use it. She could be as clueless and innocuous as she seemed, or she could be more cunning. Either way, I wouldn't be making friends with anyone whose husband wished Gideon harm. But keep your enemies closer was an adage for a reason. She dried her hands quickly and walked with me the rest of the way to the exit.
Maybe some other time.
After the relative quiet of the bathroom, the restaurant was boisterous and noisy, filled with the sounds of voices and clinking silverware atop background music. We'd just stepped out of the hallway into the main dining room when Ryan Landon climbed out of his booth and stood in front of us. There really wasn't a bad seat in the house, but Landon's wasn't great. Had Gideon known he would be dining at Tableau One? I wouldn't be surprised. After all, my husband had once tracked me down via a credit card I used at one of his nightclubs. Landon was tall, though not as tall as Gideon, 6 feet maybe, with wavy brown hair and eyes the color of amber. He was alpha fit and attractive, with an easy smile and quick laugh. I'd found him charming when I met him, and attentive to his wife.
Ava, he said in greeting,
his gaze briefly sliding past me to where his wife stood at my back.
What a pleasant surprise.
Hello, Ryan. I wished I could have caught the look that passed between them. If they were colluding against me, I really needed to know.
I was just talking about you earlier today. Heard that you've left Watersfield and Lehman.
The warning tingles that hit me in the bathroom intensified. I wasn't prepared to play these dangerous social games. Gideon had the skill to take on anyone. Hell, he ruled the playing field. But I didn't. It took a lot of effort not to look over and see if he was watching us. On new ground, I winged it.
I miss it already, but then Gideon and I are attached to Mark.
Yes, I've heard great things about him.
He really knows his stuff.
It was while Mark was working on the Kingsman vodka campaign that I met Gideon. Landon's brows shot up.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I smiled.
You're in great hands. Mark is the best. I'd be more sad about leaving if I didn't know that we'll be working with him again. He visibly regrouped.
Well, we've decided to let Landcore's in-house team run with it. They really felt like they could knock it out of the park, and since that's what I hired them to do, I figured I better let them do it.
Ah. I look forward to seeing what they come up with. I took a step away.
It was great seeing you both again. Enjoy your lunch. They wished me goodbye, and I turned toward my table, noting that Gideon was deep in conversation with the board members. I thought he wasn't aware of me approaching, but he stood just before I reached the table without even looking. We said farewell and left the restaurant, with Gideon's hand at the small of my back. I loved when he touched me there, the pressure steady and guiding, possessive. Angus waited at the curb with the Bentley. So did the paparazzi, who took the opportunity to get plenty of shots of us. It was a relief to settle in the back seat and blend into traffic.
Ava.
The rough timbre of Gideon's voice sent goosebumps racing across my skin. I glanced at him, saw the fire in his eyes, then his hands were cupping my face and his lips were slanting across mine. I gasped, startled by his sudden hunger. His tongue stroked deep into my mouth, stirring the need for him that always simmered in my blood.
"You're beautiful,"
he said, his hands pushing into my hair.
"You're always changing. I never know who I'm going to have from one day to the next."
I laughed, leaning into him and kissing him back with everything I had. I adored the feel of his mouth, the sensual lines softened from their usual sternness when he surrendered to me, making him even more gorgeous.
"Gotta keep you on your toes, Ace."
Gideon pulled me into his lap, his hands sliding all over me.
"I want you."
"I should hope so," I whispered, tracing his bottom lip with the tip of my tongue.
You're stuck with me for life.
Not long enough.
Tilting his head, he took my mouth again, his hand at my nape, holding me still as he licked strong and quick, like fucking. I felt the brush of his tongue everywhere. I squirmed, achingly aware of Angus.
Gideon.
Let's go to the penthouse,
he breathed, as tempting as the devil. His cock was hard against my buttocks, teasing me with the promise of sex and sin and pleasure too great to bear.
You have a meeting,
I panted.
Fuck the meeting.
I bit back another laugh and hugged him, pressing my nose in the crook of his neck to breathe him in. He smelled amazing, as he always did. Gideon didn't wear cologne. There was just the clean, primal smell of his skin and faint traces of the body wash he preferred.
I love the way you smell,
I told him softly, nuzzling against him. He was so warm, his body so hot and hard, pulsing with life and energy and power.
There's something about it. It touches something inside me. It's one of the things that tells me you're mine.
He growled. I'm so fucking hard,
he said, his lips to my ear. He nipped my lobe, punishing me for his lust with a small bite of pain.
I'm so fucking wet, I whispered back. You made me so happy today.
His chest expanded on an unsteady breath, his hands running up and down my back.
Good.
I pulled back, watching as he steadied himself. He so rarely lost control. It was thrilling I could do that to him. Even more thrilling to know he'd been riding that edge since I first showed up and he hadn't shown an outward clue to the others. His restraint was a major turn-on for me. My fingertips brushed over his striking face.
Thank you. It's not enough for what you gave me today, but thank you.
His eyes closed. He leaned his forehead against mine.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you like my hair.
I like when you feel confident and sexy.
I rubbed my nose against his, my love for him filling me until there was no room for anything else.
What if I need purple hair to feel that way?
His mouth curved.
Then I'll be fucking a purple-haired wife.
His hand covered my heart and took the opportunity to squeeze my breast.
As long as the inside remains the same, the rest is just wrapping.
I thought about telling him he was straying perilously close to being romantic, but decided to keep that to myself.
Did you see the Landons?
I asked instead. Gideon pulled back.
They talked to you.
My eyes narrowed.
You knew they'd be there, didn't you?
It wasn't a surprise.
You're so good at being cagey, I complained. All you guys are. I couldn't figure out if Angela Landon was yanking my chain when she asked to attend the Grey Isles Fashion Week show with me, or if she was serious.
Maybe a little of both. What did you say?
That I'm not going.
I kissed him, then squirmed back onto my own seat. He resisted but let me go. Corinne would have known how to manage her. I sighed. Probably Magdalena, too. Certainly my mom.
You did fine. What about Landon?
My lips pursed. How tightly do you have Mark locked in? He gave me a quizzical look.
What did you do?
I mentioned we have a strong connection with Mark, since you and I met while you were working with him. I said we look forward to working with him in the future.
You want to see if Landon will offer Mark a job?
I'm curious to see how far Landon will go, yes. I'm not worried about Mark. He's loyal, and while he doesn't know the particulars, he knows Landcor is part of the reason I quit. Plus, he's got an in with the head honcho at Cross Industries. He'd just be a drone at Landcor. He's not stupid. Gideon settled back in his seat. If I didn't know him so well, I might have thought he was just getting comfortable.
And you want to see if I was straight with you about Landon's motives?
No. I set my hand on his thigh and felt the tension there. Both of his parents had let him down.
I knew there was a part of Gideon that invariably expected everyone else to do the same. I believe you. I believed you when you told me. Your word is all the proof I'll ever need. He looked at me for a long minute, then squeezed my hand. Hard.
Thank you.
But maybe you felt the need to prove it to me? I asked gently. You find out Landon's got a reservation. You want to introduce me to the Crossroads board. Meeting at Tableau 1 accomplishes two things if I run into Landon while I'm there. Although there was a lot left to faith for that to happen.
Not if he's seated by the bathrooms.
Maybe I wouldn't have gone to the bathroom. Gideon shot me a look. It wasn't a foregone conclusion, I argued.
You're a woman,
he countered, as if that answered everything. My eyes narrowed. Sometimes I just want to smack you.
I can't help being right.
You're deflecting. His lips tightened for a moment.
You left me because of him. I needed you to see him again after that.
That's not entirely accurate, but okay. I see what you were after. A little frustrated, I pushed my new bangs out of my face. I still couldn't get a sense of them, though. He's a little easier to read than his wife, but they both play sincere very well. And they're a team.
You and I are a team.
We're getting there. I need to learn how to hold up my end better.
I have no complaints.
I smiled. I didn't fuck up, which isn't the same as doing a good job. His fingers brushed my cheek.
I wouldn't care if you fucked it up. Although I'm sure your definition of what that would be is very different from mine. I wouldn't care if you have green hair or purple hair or whatever color you choose. Although I'll say I like it blonde. You're what I want.
Turning my head, I kissed his palm. Angela looks like Corinne. He huffed out a surprised laugh.
No, she does not.
Oh, my God, she totally does. I mean, not like twins or anything, but the hair and the body type. Gideon shook his head.
No.
Do you think Landon went for someone who looks like your ideal woman?
I think your imagination is running away with you.
He put his fingers over my lips when I would have said more.
And if not, he got it wrong. So the point is moot.
I wrinkled my nose at him. My clutch vibrated next to my thigh, and I reached for it, pulling my phone out. There was a text from Raoul. She's at work. I glanced at Gideon and found him watching me. I asked Raoul to track down Anne today, I told him. He muttered something under his breath.
You're damned stubborn,
he bit out. As you pointed out, I feel confident and sexy. I blew him a kiss. It's a good day to say hi. His eyes lifted to the rearview mirror. Angus met his gaze and something passed between them. Then my husband turned his brilliantly blue gaze back to me.
You'll do whatever Angus says. If he doesn't think it's a good idea, when the time comes, you back off. Understood?
It took me a beat to reply because I'd expected more pushback. Okay.
And you'll come to the penthouse tonight for dinner.
When did this become a negotiation? He just looked at me, implacable and unwavering. I told Carrie I'd take him out to dinner, Ace. He's been making calls for me today while I've been with you. You're welcome to come along.
No, thanks. Come over afterward.
Will you behave? His eyes sparkled with mischief.
Only if you do.
I figured if he could have a sense of humor about it, we were making progress. Deal. We pulled up in front of the crossfire, and Gideon straightened, preparing to get out. As Angus rounded the car to open the door, I leaned forward and offered my mouth. Cupping my face in both hands, Gideon kissed me, his lips firm and possessive. Unlike the melt-my-panties kiss he'd given me when we left Tableau 1, this one was sweeter and thorough. I was breathless when he pulled away. He studied me a moment, then gave a satisfied nod.
Call my cell as soon as you're done.
What if you're...
Call me.
All right. Gideon slid out of the back of the Bentley and strode into the crossfire. I watched him until I couldn't see him anymore, remembering the first day we met. I'd been inside the lobby then, and he'd come back for me. I kept that in mind, knowing it was senseless to feel bereft now, but it was never easy watching him walk away. That was one of my many flaws and something I would have to get over. I miss you already, I texted to him. His reply was quick. I'm glad, angel mine. I was laughing as Angus slid in behind the wheel. He looked at me through the rearview mirror.
Where to?
Wherever Ann Lucas works.
She may be working for hours yet.
I figured. I've got a few things I can handle while I wait. If I run out of things to do, we'll try again some other time.
Got it.
He started the Bentley and took off. I called Carrie.
Hey, he answered. How was lunch?
It was good. I caught him up.
Eventful, he said when I finished.
Can't say I get the whole Landon thing, but then I don't understand much of what goes on with your old man. Is there anyone not pissed off at him?
Me.
Right. But you're not banging him.
Carrie, I'm going to kill you. I swear.
His low chuckle rippled over the line. I got in touch with Blair. He said he can meet you at the penthouse tomorrow if you like. Just text him a window of time and he'll see what he can do.
Sweet. How about Kristen?
Get into that, baby girl. She's in the office all day today, so you can call her anytime. Or drop her an email if that's easier. She's champing at the bit to talk to you.
I'll call her. You figure out where we're going to dinner yet?
I feel like Asian. Chinese, Japanese, Thai, something like that.
Well, all right then. Asian it is. I leaned my head back against the seat. Thanks, Carrie.
Happy to help. When are you coming home?
Not sure yet. I've got one more thing to do. Then I'll head back.
I'll see you then.
I killed the call as Angus slid into a spot by the curb.
That's her office across the street,
he explained, directing my attention to the brick-faced building on my side. It had several stories and a small, neat lobby visible through glass doors. I checked it out briefly, imagining her inside with a patient, someone who was bearing their most personal secrets without knowing who they were really talking to. That was the way it worked. The mental health professional we trusted knew everything about us, while we only knew what we could discern from photos on desks and degrees on walls. Scrolling through my contacts, I found Kristen's number and called her office. Her assistant put me through straight away. Hi, Ava. I had you on my list to call, but your friend beat me to it. I've been trying to reach you for a few days now, actually. I know. I'm sorry about that. No problem. I saw the pictures of you and Cross at the beach. I don't blame you for not calling back. We do need to get together, though, and nail down some details. September 22nd is the date. There was a pause. Okay. Wow. I winced, knowing I was asking a lot on incredibly short notice, and that it was going to cost a pretty penny to get it done in time. I've decided my mom's right about the white, cream, and gold palette, so let's run with that. I'd like small accents of red. For example, I'll have a neutral bouquet, but my jewelry will be rubies. Ooh. Let me think. Maybe red damask skirts beneath white tablecloths? Or Murano glass chargers under crystal plates. I'll pull together some options. She blew out her breath. I really have to see the location. I can arrange for a flight down. When can you go? As soon as possible, Kristen said briskly. I'm tied up tomorrow evening, but the morning would work. I'll work it out and send you the details. I'll keep an eye out for it. Ava, do you have your dress?
No. She laughed.
When she spoke again, the tension I'd heard before was gone. I completely understand wanting to hurry things along with a man like yours, but more time would help make sure everything runs smoothly and you have your perfect day.
It'll be perfect no matter what might go wrong.
I rubbed the back of my ring with my thumb, taking comfort from its presence on my hand. It's Gideon's birthday.
Phew!
Okay, then. We'll make it happen.
My mouth curved.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. I hung up and looked at the building across the street. Next door was a small cafe. I'd walk over and get a latte after I contacted the designer. I sent Gideon a text. Who should I talk to about flying the wedding planner down to the Outer Banks house tomorrow, a.m.? It felt a little weird to ask the question. Who would have thought I'd ever have private jets at my disposal? I wasn't sure I'd ever be blasé about using them. I waited a minute for a reply. When it didn't come, I called Blair Ash. "Hi, Blair," I said, when he answered. "It's Ava Trammell, Gideon Cross's fiancé."
"Ava, of course, I know who you are."
His voice was warm and friendly.
"It's good to hear from you.
I'd like to go over some of the design details with you. Carrie said you can meet tomorrow?"
"Sure. What time works for you?"
Thinking of the trip to the Outer Banks with Kristen, I answered, "Would evening work? Say 6-ish? Gideon would be with Dr. Peterson until at least 7 o'clock. Then he'd have to commute home. That gave me enough time to switch some things up with our design plans."
"That works for me," Blair agreed.
"I'll meet you at the penthouse."
"Yes, I'll see you there. Thanks. Bye."
The second I ended the call, my phone buzzed. Looking at the screen, I saw Gideon's reply. "Scott's making the arrangements." I chewed my lower lip, feeling bad for not going through Scott first. "I'll ask him next time."
"Thank you,"
smiley face. I took a deep breath, feeling like I should reach out to Gideon's mother, Elizabeth. In the front seat, Angus's phone pinged. He lifted it, then looked back at me.
"She's on her way down in the elevator."
Oh. Surprise turned to bafflement. How did he know that? I glanced at the building again. Did Gideon own that one, too? Like he owned the building her husband worked in?
"Here, lass."
Angus reached into the back seat and offered a small black disc the size of a quarter and 3 times as thick.
"It's sticky on one side. Tuck that into the strap of your dress."
I shoved my phone in my purse and took the disc, staring at it. "What is this? A microphone?"
"It's either that or I come with you."
He gave me an apologetic smile.
"It's not you that's the worry. It's her."
Since I had nothing to hide, I stuck the mic inside my bra and hopped out of the back when Angus opened the door. He grabbed my arm securely, then hurried me across the street. He winked at me before retreating to the cafe. I was suddenly standing alone on the sidewalk, struck by a wicked case of nerves. They were gone a second later when Anne pushed out of the lobby. Dressed in a leopard print wrap dress and black Louboutins, she looked fierce and vibrant with her spiky red hair. Tucking my clutch under my arm, I started walking toward her. "What are the chances?" I asked as I got close to her. She glanced at me, her hand raised to hail a cab. For a moment, there was blankness on her fox-like face, and then recognition hit her. Her shock was worth the price of admission. Her arm fell to her side. I gave her a once-over. "You should ditch the wig you've been wearing around, Carrie. The short hair suits you better." Anne recovered quickly.
"Ava, don't you look pretty? Gideon is polishing you up nicely."
"Yeah, he polishes me a lot. Every chance he gets."
That got her attention.
"Can't get enough, actually. He's got nothing left for you, so I suggest you find someone else to be crazy over." Her face hardened. I realized I'd never seen true hatred before. Even in the heat of the New York summer, I felt a chill.
"You're so clueless."
She stepped closer. "When he's probably fucking someone else at this very moment. That's who he is and what he does.
You have no idea who he is."
I hated having to tilt my head back to look up at her. "I don't have any worries about him. You, however, should be worried about me. Because if you come near him or Carrie again, you'll be dealing with me. It won't be pleasant." I turned away from her. I'd done what I came to do.
"He's a monster,"
she called out.
"Did he tell you he's been in therapy since he was a child?"
That stopped me. I rounded on her. She grinned.
"He's been broken from birth.
He's sick and twisted in ways he hasn't shown you yet. He's thinking he can hide it from you, his pretty little girl who creates just the right fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast for the masses. A clever cover-up, but it won't hold. He can't suppress his true nature for long. My God, did she know about Hugh? How could she know that Gideon was a victim of her brother's perversions and have sex with him anyway? It made me so sick to think of it, bile rose in my throat. Her laugh slid over me like shards of glass. Gideon is vicious and cruel at his core. He'll break you before he's done with you, if he doesn't kill you first. My back straightened, my hands fisting at my sides. I was so angry I was shaking with it, fighting the urge to punch her in her smug, nasty face. "Who do you think monsters marry, you stupid bitch?" I walked back to her. "Pretty little breakable girls? Or other monsters?" I pushed up into her face. "You got the fairy tale right, but Gideon's the beauty. I'm the beast."
6. "You think Gideon's scary? Wait till you get a load of me." I sat still as stone for a long minute, Ava's voice echoing in my ears as the recording faded. My gaze lifted from my desk to Angus's face. Jesus. We had looked for any case files Hugh might have kept about me. None were found, and we assumed he hadn't kept records. It made sense. Why document your crimes?
"I'll look again," Angus said quietly. "Her home's an office. Her husband's office. Everywhere. I'll find them."
I nodded, pushing back from my desk. I sucked in a deep breath and fought off a wave of nausea. There was nothing I could do but wait. I walked to the nearest window and looked at the building that housed Landcor's offices. "Ava handled her well," he said behind me. "She put the fear of God in Anne. I saw it on her face." I had eschewed viewing the available security video footage in favor of listening to the audio of their meeting, but it was enough. I knew my wife, her voice and inflections, knew her temper, and I knew that nothing roused it as swiftly or ferociously as when she was leaping to my defense. Over the short time we'd been together, Ava had managed direct confrontations with Corinne at her home, my mother on multiple occasions, Terence Lucas at his office, and now his wife at hers. I knew my wife felt she had to, which was why I'd forced myself to step back and let her do it. I didn't need defending. Could take care of myself just fine on my own, as I always had. But it felt good to know I wasn't on my own any longer. Better still, to know she could look crazy in the face and frighten it. "She's a tigress," I faced him. "I've got a few badges of honor from her scratches myself." The hard, tense line of Angus's shoulders relaxed slightly. "She'll stand by you." "If my past goes public?" "Yes, she will." As I said the words, I realized how true they were. There had been times in our relationship when I hadn't been certain I could hold on to Ava. I loved my wife and had no doubts she loved me as deeply. But as perfect as she was for me, she had her flaws. She doubted herself too often. She believed, at times, that she wasn't strong enough to face certain situations. And when she felt her independence and equanimity threatened, she ran away to protect herself. My gaze went to the picture of her on my desk. Things had changed, and only recently. She'd pushed me to the edge, cutting me off from the one thing I could not live without. Her. I'd tumbled off that edge reluctantly,
forced to do so to get her back. The result? She no longer looked at our marriage as her and me, but us. My initial resentment was gone. No matter what, I would do it again to keep her. But now, I would do it without the push. She loves that I can take care of her. Keep her safe, I said, mostly to myself. But if I lost everything, she'd still be here. It's me she wants, as fucked up as I am. The money, the public image, they weren't important to her. You're not fucked up, lad. Too pretty for your own good, to be certain. Angus's mouth twisted wryly. And you've made some dubious choices when it comes to the lasses. But who hasn't? Hard to say nay when you're Randy and they're lifting their skirts. Amused by his blunt comments, I pushed thoughts of Ann Lucas aside. Worrying would get me nowhere. Angus would do what he was so very good at. I would focus on my wife and our life as it now was. Where is Ava now? I asked him. Raoul is driving her to Parker Smith's studio in Brooklyn. I nodded, understanding that Ava needed to work off some steam. Thank you, Angus. He left, and I returned to my desk to get my day back on track. I'd shuffled a dozen things to fit in the crossroads lunch with Ava, and now I had to catch up. My smartphone buzzed, rattling atop the smoked glass of my desktop. I glanced at it, hoping to see Ava's face on the screen, and seeing my sister, Ireland's, instead. I felt a familiar, momentary twinge of discomfort, something mildly akin to panic, just before I answered the call. I couldn't see how being in my teenage sister's life benefited her at all, but Ava felt it was important for some reason, and so I made the effort for her. Ireland, to what do I owe the pleasure?
Gideon!
She hiccuped violently, her voice clogged with tears. I immediately tensed, the first surge of fury bristling along my spine. What's wrong?
I came home from school and Dad was waiting for me. They're getting a divorce.
I circled my desk and sank into my chair. The anger drained away. Before I could say anything, she rushed on.
I don't understand.
She wept.
A couple weeks ago, everything was fine. Then they started arguing all the time and Dad moved into a hotel. Something happened, but neither of them will tell me what it is. Mom won't stop crying. Dad doesn't, but his eyes are always red when I see him.
My stomach knotted up all over again. My breath came fast and quick. Chris knew about Hugh and me, about Terence Lucas's lies covering up his brother-in-law's crime, about my mother's refusal to believe me, to fight for me, to save me. Ireland.
Do you think he's having an affair? He's the one instigating all of this. Mom says he's confused. She says he'll come around, but I don't think so. He acts like his mind is totally made up. Can you talk to him?
I gripped the phone too tightly. And say what? Hello, Chris. Sorry I was raped and your wife can't handle it. Bummer about the divorce. No chance you could forgive her and live happily ever after? Just thinking about Chris going on with his life, with his wife, as if nothing had happened, filled me with rage. Someone knew. Someone cared. Someone couldn't live with it any more than I. I wouldn't change that even if I could. Something small and cold inside me enjoyed the reckoning. Finally.
There has to be something, Gideon. People don't go from being madly in love to filing for divorce in less than a month.
God. I rubbed at the back of my neck, where a vicious headache clawed at me. Maybe counseling. A harsh, humorless laugh burned in my throat, silenced. A therapist had started all of this. How fucking ironic for me to suggest seeing another one to figure it out. Ireland sniffled.
Mom said Dad suggested it, but she won't go.
The mirthless snicker escaped me then. What would Dr. Peterson say if he could see into that mind of hers? Would he pity her? Feel disgust? Anger? Maybe he wouldn't feel anything at all. I was no different from any other molested child, and she was no different from any other weak, self-absorbed woman. I'm sorry, Ireland. Sorrier than I could ever tell her. How would she feel about me if she knew this was all my fault? Maybe she would hate me too, like our brother Christopher. The thought tightened my chest like a vice. Christopher couldn't stand me, but he loved Ireland and was invested in the relationship between their parents. I was the outsider. Always had been. Have you talked to Christopher?
He's as torn up as Mom is. I mean, I'm a mess, but the two of them, I've never seen them so upset.
I pushed to my feet again, too restless to sit. What should I do, Ava? What could I say? Why aren't you here when I need you? Your father isn't having an affair, I said, offering her what comfort I could. He's not the type.
Then why did he file for divorce?
I exhaled roughly. Why does anyone quit a marriage? It's not working.
After all these years, he decides he's not happy and that's it? He quits?
He suggested therapy and she said no.
So it's her fault he suddenly got a problem with her.
The voice was Ireland's, but the words were my mother's. If you're trying to find someone to blame, I won't help with that.
You don't care if they stay together. You probably think it's stupid I'm so upset at my age.
That's not true. You have every right to be upset. I glanced at the door to my office when Scott appeared on the other side of it, nodding to acknowledge him when he tapped the face of his watch. He went back to his desk.
Then help them fix it, Gideon.
Jesus, I don't know why you think I can do anything. She started crying again. I cursed silently, hating to hear her in so much pain, knowing I'd caused some of it. Sweetheart.
Can you at least try to talk some sense into them?
My eyes closed. I was the goddamned problem, which made it impossible for me to be part of the solution. But I couldn't say that. I'll call them.
Thank you.
She sniffled again.
I love you.
A small sound escaped me, the blow of her words sending me reeling. She hung up before I could find my voice, leaving me with the sense of an opportunity lost. I set my phone back down on my desk and fought the urge to throw it across the room. Scott opened the door and poked his head in.
Everyone's ready for you in the conference room.
I'm coming.
Also, Mr. Vidal would like you to call him when you can.
I gave a curt nod but growled inwardly at the sound of my stepfather's name. I'll get back to him. It was nearing 9 in the evening when Raoul texted me to let me know Ava was on her way up to the penthouse. I left my home office and went to meet her in the foyer, my brows arching in surprise, when she stepped out holding a big box in both hands. Raoul stood behind her, carrying a duffel bag. She grinned at me as I took the box from her.
Brought some stuff to invade your space.
Invade away, I told her,
captivated by the bright, mischievous light in her gray eyes. Raoul deposited the duffel bag on the living room floor, then slipped away quietly, leaving us alone. I followed Eva with my gaze, taking in the dark jeans that hugged every curve and the loose silk blouse she'd tucked into them. She was wearing flats, which left her nearly a foot shorter than I was in my bare feet. Her hair fell around her shoulders, framing her face, which was scrubbed free of makeup. She tossed her purse onto the wing-back chair nearest the front door. As she kicked off her shoes by the coffee table, she looked at me, her gaze sliding over my bare chest and black silk pajama bottoms.
"You said you were going to behave, Ace."
"Well, considering I haven't even kissed you yet, I think I'm being very well behaved." I walked to the dining room table and set the box down, looking inside it to see a collection of framed photos swathed in bubble wrap. "How was dinner?"
"Tasty. I wish Tatiana weren't pregnant, but I think it's making Carrie reevaluate and grow up a little bit. That's a good thing."
I knew better than to offer my opinion on that, so I just gave a nod. "Should I open a bottle of wine?" Her smile lit up the room.
"That would be great."
When I returned to the living room a few moments later, I found the fireplace mantel decorated with a collection of photographs. The montage I'd given her to keep at work was there, showcasing images of us together. There were also pictures of Carrie, Monica, Stanton, Victor, and Ireland. And a framed image of my father and me on the shore long ago, one that I'd shared with her when we signed the purchase contract on the beach house in the Outer Banks. I sipped from my glass, taking in the change. There were no other personal items in the main living space, so the alteration was profound. She'd also chosen brilliantly colored mosaic glass frames, which sparkled and drew the eye.
"Are your bachelor self-preservation warnings going off yet?"
Eva teased, taking the glass I held out to her. Amused, I glanced at her. "It's too late to scare me off."
"You sure about that? I'm just getting started."
"It's about time."
"Okay, then."
She shrugged, then took a drink of the Pinot Noir I'd selected.
"I was willing to pacify you with a blowjob if you started freaking out."
My dick thickened and lengthened. "Now that you mention it, I am feeling a little cold sweat." A furry ball rolled out from beneath the coffee table, jolting me so hard I nearly spilled red wine onto the Aubusson rug beneath my feet. "What the hell is that?" The ball shook itself out and became a puppy, not much bigger in size than my shoes. It stumbled toward me on shaky legs. Mostly black and tan with a white belly, it had huge ears that flopped around a sweet face, alight with joy and excitement.
"He's yours,"
my wife said, with laughter in her voice.
"Isn't he adorable?"
Speechless, I watched as the tiny dog made it to my feet and began licking my toes.
"Aw, he likes you."
She set her glass onto the coffee table and sank down on her knees, reaching out to rub the puppy's silky head. Confused, I looked around and noticed what I hadn't before. The duffel bag Raoul had carried in had ventilation mesh on the top and sides.
"Oh my God, you should see your face."
Eva laughed and picked up the dog, rising to her feet. She took my glass and shoved the puppy at me instead. I caught the squirming bundle of fur because I had no choice, arching my head back when it started licking madly at my face. "I can't have a puppy."
"Sure you can."
"I don't want a puppy."
"Sure you do."
"Eva, no." She took my wine to the sofa and sat, curling her legs beneath her.
Now the penthouse won't feel so empty until I move in.
I stared at her. I don't need a dog. I need my wife.
Now you have both.
She drank from my glass and licked her lips.
What will you name him?
I can't have a puppy, I repeated. Ava looked at me serenely.
He's an anniversary gift from your wife. You have to keep him.
Anniversary?
We've been married a month.
She leaned back into the sofa and gave me the fuck me look.
I was thinking we could go to the beach house and celebrate.
I readjusted my hold on the wriggling dog. Celebrate how?
All access.
I was hard instantly, something she didn't fail to notice. Her gaze darkened as it caressed my erection where it tented my pants.
I'm dying, Gideon,
she breathed, her lips and cheeks flushing pink.
I wanted to wait, but I can't. I need you, and it's our anniversary. If we can't make love then, and have it be just you, me, and what we have, with no bullshit, then we can't make love ever, and I don't believe that's true.
I stared at her. Her lips curved wryly.
If that makes any sense at all.
The puppy licked my jaw frantically, and I hardly noticed, my attention focused on my wife. She just kept surprising me in all the best ways. Lucky. Her head tilted to the side.
What?
That's his name. Lucky. Ava laughed.
You're a fiend, Ace.
By the time Ava went home, I had new dog crates in my bedroom and home office, and fancy water and feed bowls in my kitchen. Puppy food in an airtight plastic storage container sat in my pantry, and plush dog beds took up space in every room in the house. There was even a patch of fake grass, which supposedly Lucky would urinate on, when he wasn't relieving himself on my priceless rugs, as he'd done not long ago. All the items, including treats, toys, and enzymatic sprays for accidents, had been left waiting in the foyer outside the elevator, telling me that my wife had enlisted Raoul and Angus in her plan to foist a pet on me. I stared at the puppy, who sat at my feet, looking up at me with soft, dark eyes, filled with something akin to adoration. What the hell am I supposed to do with a dog? Lucky's tail wagged so hard, his back end shifted from side to side along with it. When I'd asked Ava the same question, she'd laid out her plan. Lucky would ride with me to work, and then Angus would drop him off at doggy daycare. Who knew there was such a thing? And pick him up in time to ride home with me. The real answer was written in the note she'd left on my pillow.
My dearest Dark and Dangerous, dogs are excellent judges of character. I'm certain the adorable beagle you now own will worship you nearly as much as I do, because he'll see what I see in you. Fierce protectiveness, thoughtfulness, and loyalty. You're an alpha through and through, so he'll obey you when I don't. I'm sure you'll appreciate that. In time, you'll get used to being loved unconditionally by him and me and everyone else in your life. Yours always and forever, Mrs. X.
Rising up onto his back legs, Lucky pawed at my shin, whining softly. Needy little thing, aren't you? I picked him up and tolerated the inevitable face-licking. He smelled faintly of Ava's perfume. So I pressed my nose into him. Owning a pet had never been on my wish list. Then again, neither was having a wife that was the best thing to ever happen to me. holding Lucky away from me, I eyed him consideringly. Ava had put a red leather collar on him with an engraved brass plate. Happy anniversary. Next to that was the date of our wedding, so I couldn't give him away. We're stuck